podcast from the First Church of Christ in East Palestine, Ohio. We're glad you decided to join us and hope you enjoyed this week's message.
Good morning. It is my privilege to be here and to share with you. And thank you for the invitation, but thank you for supporting Hasten for so many years. I've been with Hasten for 37 years, and Dr. Pruitt was my personal physician for over 30 years. And we were very close friends. He lived in Winston-Salem, I lived in Kernersville, and we did a lot of things together, and we miss him greatly. And I'm basically taking his position because he said, you need to do it. And I wasn't ready when it was time to do it 15 years ago, but I am ready now. I just retired in September. Actually, August 31st, and took on my new job on the 1st of September. So it is exciting, and Barry has been so good. He's a great comedian. He's a great singer. And many of you may not know, he has all kinds of national awards in the country music area in his acting and comedianship. And if you look in major country magazines, you will see him in country music. He's received all kinds of awards. He was the chaplain for NASCAR, and he is a hero in NASCAR. Let me tell you, I went to the national drags with him, and these big-time racers would stop. They had big lines of people autographing. They would walk away from that, come over and embrace Barry and hug him and say, let's go to our trailer where we can talk for a little bit. And I was just blown away. And then they gave us great seats to the drag races, to national drag races. So Barry is very well connected. But I want to tell you this about Barry, is that he loves Jesus with all of his heart. And that's the most important thing. Bob, I heard a story about you last night. You know, it's, what a shock. And he and his wife had gone to a nice restaurant just for a nice dinner. And there was a couple next to them, and the guy was just stroking his wife's hair and just kind of kissing her on the cheek and just looking at her romantically. And Bob's wife looked at him and said, Bob, why don't you ever do that? And he looked and he said, I don't know that lady that well. I love Bob. He has done a tremendous job here in East Palestine, and he also deserves a round of applause for his ministry all these years. You ever ask a question, and it's only got two answers, yes or no? This morning, I'm going to pose a question to you that Jesus posed in John chapter 5, verses 1 through 4 is where we're going to begin. But if you open your Bible to John 5, and it should be up on the screen, I believe, so that you can see it there. Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there was in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people, and I want you to underline this next word, used to lie. That's a very important word in John 5 here. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed. And they waited for the moving of the waters, and from time to time an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. Isn't it interesting that God in this time period was performing miracles, not just with Jesus, but with other things? An angel of the Lord came down and stirred the waters. And it brought healing to people. And it was the first one into the pool after each such disturbance would be cured of whatever disease they had. Wouldn't that be something if we had that in our modern age? You know, as I was doing research for this sermon, I realized that Kernersville had a place like this in our own town. And it was called Dunlap Mineral Springs Hotel. And it was started in 1920, and people would come from all over the triad, the Winston-Salem, Greensboro, High Point, come to Kernersville and stay in this hotel. And About three times a day, the waters would rise, and it was caused by the springs putting water into those pools. And people said that they would find healing for their arthritis. How many of you have ever had arthritis? Isn't it weird? You know, I'm a senior, and your pain moves in your body. Have you noticed that? You'll have a pain here, and tomorrow it'll be over here. And you just can't figure it out. And I thought, man, that would have been cool to go to these healing waters. But it's not there anymore. In 1929, you know what happened in 1929? The stock market crashed. Nobody could afford to go to the hotel, and they were done. There was another company later on in the 90s who bought that property and turned it into a cosmetic center. And that didn't do well. And after they folded and were gone, there was another church in Kernersville, almost as large as we were, ran about 1,500 people, and it was called The Bridge. And they were doing really super well, and all of a sudden, Satan got into the church. And I know this from the preacher who was there. And the church absolutely fell apart. And 3 months ago, they closed their doors forevermore. And you know that spring is still underneath that church? And a company just bought the entire facility. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be doing with Hasten this year is introducing a medical trailer that we are going to pull all over the eastern United States and into Ohio, West Virginia, Kentucky, Tennessee. And we will have a dental unit on it, there'll be a doctor's unit on it, and there'll be a psychological unit in the middle. This is a very, very large trailer. And we're going to be giving free dentistry, free medical care, and free psychological care to people all over. Now, this is a big task. I've never raised a lot of money. So far in the 5 weeks that I've been doing this, I've raised $100,000. I got $250,000 more to raise. We bought the trailer, but it's got to be updated. And if you live in the state of North Carolina, you know that we have some of the best medical care in the world. Wake Forest, Duke University, UNC. And they require high standards for what we're doing, so we have to bring that trailer up to standard, which we knew we'd have to do. I just didn't realize how much it cost. It's $100,000 to update it, and then a truck to pull it. And I wasn't thinking about that either. I just got the trailer. I didn't realize, well, we need something to pull that thing. And it's going to be between $100,000 and $150,000, just depending on what takes place. So we want to help people. But have you ever thought, why did Jesus pick this guy? Scripture says that he'd been an invalid for 38 years. So apparently he hadn't been able to walk almost all of his life. So why this man? Of all the other people, the lame, the blind, the lepers, all the things that were going on, why him? Well, if you study this era, you know that the average lifespan of a male in this time period, the Roman time period, was 40 years of age. So he had about 2 years at the most. And Jesus used him as the example because his life was coming to a close. You know, we never know when things are going to happen, do we? How many of you could believe that you made the national news? And not just for a day, you made it for weeks. And people all over heard about East Palestine. You know, I grew up in Ohio, just down the road from you all, in a place called Sebring, Ohio. Actually played football against East Palestine. They were a tough team, I want to tell you. But we had some great games, and I knew some of the guys up here that played. But his lifespan may have been coming to an end. And when Jesus saw him, verse 6, lying there, he knew that he had been in this condition for a long time. He asked him, "Do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed?" Isn't that kind of a weird question? For a guy who's been paralyzed for 38 years to ask a person, do you want to be healed? The truth is, after being in ministry for 46 years, I've learned something. That not everybody wants to be healed. You see, sometimes I've run across people and I go, you just got to stop using that drug. You've got to stop using that alcohol to self-medicate. Yeah, preacher, yeah, that's what I need to do. But you see, as much as you may want them to change, as much as I may want them to change, they've got to want it for themselves. Barry can tell you that in the last year of my ministry, I buried 24 young people, all who had overdosed on either heroin or meth. 24 young people. These weren't strangers. I watched these kids grow up in the church. They would come up and hug me on Sunday morning, and we'd sit and talk and we'd play. And as I watched this transpire, their parents were begging them to stop. You need to quit. And we would put them in a center. And what was really weird is maybe right after they came out or right as before they went in, they took a hot shot of heroin and they were gone. There was nobody around. They died in bathrooms. They died in their house. They died on the streets near the railroad. They literally needed that more than they needed life. And there are some people who are probably here today and you're suffering from this. And you understand exactly what I'm talking about. And some of you are struggling with sin, which has a remedy, and his name's Jesus. Amen. That's where we need to look for help. I've never truly met an addict who was healed without Jesus Christ. A life changed because they followed him. We got some weird stuff going on in America. Would you agree? I mean, we can't identify. We have a Supreme Court justice who said she can't say whether they're male or female. Let me tell you, she shouldn't be a Supreme Court justice. How many of you know who you are? How many of you men know that you're men? Would you please stand up if you're a man, if you're able today? That's amazing. You're smarter than 40% of the people in America right now. Would you have a seat? How many of you know that you're women? Would you please stand up if you can? Remain seated if you can. Oh, amazing. There we go. So it's not a real big problem, is it? We have an answer to the solution, and the solution is follow God. God doesn't make mistakes. He made us male and female. He knows who you are. And the confusion is not with God, it's with us. And we need to determine who we are. There is a new group called the Transabled. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I've had a few people in my life's history where I've counseled with some people. It's called BIID, Body Integrity Identity Disorder. And what's really strange about these people is they're perfectly healthy, but they will have limbs amputated so that they can be disabled. Matter of fact, some of these people have asked surgeons to sever their spinal cord so that they would be paralyzed from the waist down for the rest of their lives. They are truly misguided and need the healing of Jesus Christ. But sometimes we're not looking for it. Sometimes we're not wanting it. And Jesus says, "Do you want to be well?" In verse 7, here's his reply. I want you to notice something. He doesn't answer the question. Here's what he says. "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool. And when the waters are stirred, while I'm trying to get in, someone always goes ahead of me." That's not the question that Jesus asked. You see, we're really good at making excuses. on why we don't do what we can do. We do the same thing with God. We say, you know, I can't get over this sin, Lord. It's a struggle for me, and I just can't get past it. And the truth is, we have to want to. You see, the thing with sin is the only way to find forgiveness is to surrender it. Y'all remember the old song, and I'm sure you do, this traditional service, I Surrender All. One of my favorite hymns, of all hymns. There is a time, you know, over in Africa, and I've traveled all over the world. I've been in 38 countries. I've been in Africa 11 or 12 times. I was scheduled to be in Israel in 3 weeks. I have a group of 30 people going with me, and I would guess that we're not going, because they have a mess in Israel. But I was taking a tour, and I've been to Israel many, many times. And, you know, as you look at things and situations and everything that's coming down, we want to make excuses for why we can't do or can't be who God wants us to be. But Jesus is still going to do something miraculous. But we've got to answer that question too. Do you want to be healed? Do you want to come out of where you are to where God wants you to be? And sometimes that's a different place than we are. Amen? It's a change that has to take place within our culture and within our lives. And God says if we kneel down and humble ourselves before Him, He will forgive us. But I don't think we've been humbled. I received an award this year, and it's the highest award given in the state of North Carolina. I'm not telling you this to brag. But the governor of the state is highly against me. When abortion came out, he made a decision that he was going to veto what the state voted for, stop abortion. He vetoed it, and he also said that if a baby is born by a mother and she does not want it, you leave it on the table and let it die. It's the most horrific law I've ever heard in my life. And he heard from me because I have some clout in Raleigh. And I told him that, how can you call yourself a believer in God and allow a baby to die on a table? How can those two things coincide? Well, the award that I received is called the Longleaf Pine. And it's only issued once a year to one person in the state. And he had signed the papers for that to happen. And I knew nothing about it. I went to a banquet at the end of my ministry, and my wife said, wear a nice suit, wear a tie, be dressed up, because something's going to happen tonight. And I received that award, and I was blown away. Michael Jordan has that award. Dale Earnhardt, Billy Graham. And I couldn't believe it. But you have to be willing to hear God. And this is what Jesus said to him, verses 8 and 9. Get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. You see, the first part of doing anything is getting up, right? You got to get up. Now, I had hip surgery 15 years ago. And when they got in there, they found out that it was a malformed hip. And it had been that way for years. And when I played football, I knew, because every time I was done with football practice or a game, I was hurting on that right side, and I just couldn't get relief from that pain. And you self-medicate, you use a lot of Tylenol. I don't think we had Advil then, but I used a lot of Tylenol. And when they got in there, they took it and fixed it and replaced it and put this thing in there. And when I woke up, my leg was totally numb. I couldn't feel it. I was rubbing it, and I couldn't feel anything. And this nurse came in, and she's a pretty good-sized nurse. And she said, Mr. Kunkel, you're getting up. And I looked at my watch, and I'd only been out of this thing for 2 hours. I said, well, I didn't say it to her. I said it to me.
Are you crazy? That's going to hurt like I can't even imagine. And she said, no, you're going to get up and you're going to walk to the door and back to your bed. So I couldn't move my legs. You know, when the leg doesn't work, it doesn't work. So she takes it and pulls it over, and then she grabs hold of me, and she's got a little band around me, and she stands me up, and I'm going, oh, that doesn't hurt. And then I realize I'm on this heavy-duty medicine, so I'm not going to feel that pain. So I walk to the door and walk back, and the next day she says, we're going to walk out into the hall and back. And in 4 days, I'm back in my office working. I still don't have a lot of feeling in that leg, but I had to get up. And that's sometimes a challenge, isn't it? When we're down and we're blue and we have depression and we have anxiety and the world is full of this stuff. We have to get up and say, Lord, I'm with you. And then he said, pick up your mat. It's an important phrase. It's another thing you want to underline. What Jesus was telling him is you're not going back to that place anymore. You're done. Pick up your mat. You don't have to be enslaved by that. You don't have to be taken by that. You don't have to give in to that. Pick up your mat and go. Don't relapse. Jesus said it's like a dog going to his vomit. And those are not my words, those are Jesus' words. Don't go back once you get out. Once you get closer to Jesus, stay where you're at. Remove the possibility of relapse. And then walk. You know, when you've had surgery, especially on your hip, your knee, whatever, there is therapy, right? Any of you had to go through any of that? Okay. There's therapy that you work through in order to be able to walk correctly. Wasn't true in this situation. Just get up and walk. And the man gets up, picks up his mat, and he walks. He doesn't need any rehabilitation because when Jesus heals, he heals completely. And that's the difference between modern day healers and the Jesus who heals us. He gives us hope and life. But physical healing was not his purpose. And I want you to hear this. It was the bait to introduce the gospel. You see, when my trailer finally comes to this town, and it will, because I surveyed it yesterday. I looked at some of the housing areas and talked with some of the people. And that trailer will come here and will give some medical care and dental care in this area. But it won't be about Hasten. It'll be about the church helping us. It'll be about you praying over those people. It'll be you giving them the gift bags. It'll be you sharing the hope of Jesus, the gospel, with them. Because we want the church to be highlighted, not Hasten International. We're just a bait to get people to come and to know the Savior of this world. You know what's really interesting about this guy? Is he didn't know who healed him. When the Pharisees and Sadducees come to him, they go, who healed you? Because he was healed on the Sabbath. They were more worried about the Sabbath than they were what God did for this man and gave him life again and gave him substance and a way to live life. You see, sometimes we look at the minors and Jesus looks at the majors, amen? We can't focus on the little things. We need to look at the full case. And Jesus says, I want him whole. He was too slow to get in the pool himself when the waters were disturbed. But in all reality, he didn't need the waters. He needed Jesus in his life.
David prayed a prayer, and we heard part of that in the communion today. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? When's the last time that you came before God and said, God, forgive me? You see, can God still do miracles today? There's only two answers, yes or no. What do you say? Oh, that's kind of weak. I realize it's really early. Can I hear it again?
Yes.
There we go. I believe that God still heals. And the truth is, you're exactly who God's looking for this morning. You see, in Luke 5:31, it says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Psalms 147:3 says that he heals the brokenhearted and he binds up their wounds. Can I step down in front here? Years ago, there was a little girl born at Forsyth Memorial Hospital. And when she was born, her name was Maddie. She had strep passed from her mother. And she was extremely sick, and when I talked to one of the pediatricians who I knew, Dr. Walker, he said her chances of survival are about 10%. But we have a very good medical center at Baptist, and they are a critical care unit, and they took Maddie and took her over there. And I went with her father. Her mother was still in the hospital. She was very sick, too. And there was a picture in this little room that they put us in. And it said, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there was a man praying over his little girl. And I'll never forget that picture as long as I live. And in behind it was an angel, just an impression of an angel watching over that little girl. And Matt looked at me, and he's a new Christian. Matter of fact, I just married he and his wife 3 years before that. And he said, could the elders pray over her? So I called the elders. It was late at night. And I remember we went in there to lay hands on her and anoint her with oil, James chapter 5, and pray over her. And the nurse said, what good is that going to do? Can't you see this baby's dying? And my doctor friend, Dr. Walker, was there and heard it and said, ma'am, you need to leave the room. The nurse. And we laid hands on that child, and we prayed over her for healing. And we left that room, and an hour later, the one physician came out from Baptist, and he said, I don't have any answers for this, but she is totally pink. And she's breathing on her own, and she's doing well, and I don't know what to tell you. I know what to tell him. God just did something. And the weird thing is, my wife doesn't work a full-time job, so she took Maddie because she needed care during the week. And Maddie lived with us all day long for 6.5 years. And we bonded with her, of course, and her parents. And I am still the only place she'll stay overnight. She didn't go anywhere else. She won't stay with anyone else, but she'll stay with Kathy and I. And about 8 weeks ago, I married her to her new husband on her mom and dad's anniversary. And she said, Pete, you're my second dad, and you always will be. And if I need you, can I still call you after you retire? And I said, absolutely. But I saw God do something that sometimes people have a hard time believing. But I know that God's real. I know that he loves his children. I know that when we pray with all of our heart, that he hears us. And he answers our prayer. Sometimes not the way we want it answered. But he answers prayer. Amen.
So this morning, I want you to know that it's time to answer that question. Do you want to be healed? And he's really talking about sin, because you know what he says in verse 14? Don't sin anymore, or it'll be worse. You got the healing, now live the life. Hear what God's saying to you, yes or no. Do I want to be healed? Do I want to be restored? If I'm fighting with something, there's a struggle in my life, I'm sick, I'm ill, I have anxiety issues, depression issues, all those things are real. And the master healer is Jesus, and he can work with you if you'll trust him. And I know there's a reason for medical medicine. That's what I do. But there's a power even greater than that medicine that you're taking. And his name's Jesus. So today I want you to say yes or no to Jesus. Bob's going to come up here, and I want to invite you to come this morning. Maybe you need prayer. And I didn't ask Bob if I could do this, but maybe you need prayer. And we'll be up here, and I'm sure there's some other elders in here. And we'll just pray over you. If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'd love for you to come this morning and to die to your sin, to repent and confess him as Lord. Be baptized today in the newness of life. Start over. And I'll close with this. My last Sunday in the church was an emotional time, you can imagine, after all those years. And a lot of people got baptized that morning. And it was a 12-year-old little girl. And we were done. I was getting ready to come out of the baptistry, and she comes running up on the stage. And she's dressed in this beautiful dress, and her hair's just pristine. And she said, "Mr. Pete, I want to be baptized." Well, I said, "Amanda, do you want to go in the back and change clothes? And we've got black t-shirt and a robe to cover that. Is that what you want to do?" And she said, no. "You said, come as I am." So I'm coming as I am. That little girl walked down that baptistry, and I baptized her, and she came out, and she just gave me the biggest hug and thanked me, and the crowd went nuts. Like nothing I've ever seen in my entire life. Standing ovation and just applause. Because one who was lost is now found. And maybe that's you this morning. So Bob, would you come up, and we're going to invite him to come. And whatever the decision are, we're here to greet you.
Thanks for listening. If you'd like to join us in person, we have a traditional service at 8:45 and a contemporary service at 11 a.m. on Sunday mornings. Check our Facebook page for evening adult and youth service times throughout the week.